This evening, it's my intention to take two well-known verses in this chapter as my text. They are the verses 5 and the verses 6, which simply say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And today, we can often ask ourselves the question, when we're confronted with a piece of information, or perhaps we hear some news on the television, or as most people perhaps use nowadays, they have the news apps or they go to the news websites on their phones. And we often wonder, can we trust it? We hear the term fake news bandied about, and we hear of fact checkers whose job is to eliminate that which is fake. Whether it's to do with the various circumstances with this ongoing pandemic, or perhaps to do with Brexit or some other issue, there's many claims going out and about that we are wondering, is it true? And many people, they debunk these claims and they show them to be false. But we are continually wondering, can we trust what we are being told? Sometimes we may come upon a situation in life where two people will tell us two different stories about a particular event, and we wonder, which one can we trust? Who can we listen to? Which one is telling the truth? It's maintaining trust is very important in whether it's a business, whether it's in government, but especially in the church, and as believers, it's important that people can trust us. If people aren't trusted, they will just be ignored. We can think of the old story of the boy who cried wolf, and how that boy, he was trusted to look after the sheep, and how that one day he thought it would be a smart move to go and to cry wolf, to go and cry to the villagers, "There's a wolf coming, there's a wolf coming." The villagers came out that day, but there was no wolf. A couple of days later, the same thing happened, and again, there was no wolf. But then the day came when the wolf actually did come, and the boy, he ran into the village, saying, "The wolf is here, he really is here." But yet, the villagers, they just looked at him, and they laughed at him. They thought that he was just pulling their leg again, trying to make a fool out of them. He had lost the trust of the people. But this evening, I would just like to consider three brief thoughts on the subject of trusting God from this passage that we have read together. And the first thing I'd like us to consider is the counsel that is given. I think it's important to note at the beginning, when we look at the first verse of this passage, there's two words used, and they're the words, "my son." And that gives the following wisdom that follows in this passage: the appearance of a father lovingly instructing or counseling his son. He is carefully and lovingly telling him what he must do. And those words, they appear, "my son," they appear numerous times throughout this book. And I think we can make a comparison between the love of this father, this wise father for his son, and the love of God towards his children. But we do see here in the counsel that is given, we see there's a practice that is encouraged. And that practice is trusting in God. We do not just stop there, however. It's not just a matter of simply just trusting in God. The passage tells us to trust the Lord with all thine heart. We must notice that word "all," and what a word it is. We are to trust the Lord with all of our hearts. We are not to trust him a little bit and to look to other things. We're not to trust him a lot, but still be perhaps trusting in something else as well. We are to trust him entirely. With all of our heart, we are to depend upon him. We are to rely on him, and we are to obey him. We are to trust in him, and we are to deny ourselves. The great Puritan preacher, Thomas Goodwin, he said on this text that there is a great self-denial to give up all my thoughts forever to the wisdom and authority of another. And that another was nothing more than the Lord. And that is who we are to give up our thoughts, our wisdom. We are to give them up, and we are to seek to follow the Lord and him alone. Trust only in him. There's a number of scriptures that we can use to back this up. Psalm 4, verse 5 says, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." Psalm 118 and the verses 8 and 9 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." And then in 2 Kings, if we look at 2 Kings chapter 18, and the verse number 5, we read about King Hezekiah. 2 Kings 18 verse 5, it says, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. King Hezekiah, he sought to trust the Lord. He sought to obey him. He sought to do his will. And there's many scriptures there. We've just considered just a few of them where it tells us to trust in the Lord. It's important that we do trust in the Lord. As that Psalm 118 told us, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. For how true it is that when we trust in man, man will let us down. He may not intend to, but he will let us down. But the Lord will never, ever let us down. But also, we see that there's a problem that is to be avoided. And maybe you're not trusting in the Lord. Maybe you're depending upon yourself. The scriptures, they do warn against this in many, many places. Many of us, perhaps here this evening, we could testify to the dangers of trusting in your own ability, of trusting in making your own decisions and not consulting the Lord, not trusting him. We've perhaps went down a certain path in life and we've ended up running shipwreck. We can think of examples in scripture. We can think of Jonah. Jonah was told by the Lord to go to Nineveh, but he didn't want to go. So what did he do? He took matters into his own hand and he went and he got on a ship going in the opposite direction, and he endangered the lives of those on the ship. He ran from God. He didn't trust in the Lord with all of his heart. We can think of King Jehoshaphat. Whenever he joined in affinity with Ahab, he made an ungodly alliance with him, and it nearly cost him his life. For when they went to the battle together, the enemy army, they thought that Jehoshaphat was King Ahab, and they sought to kill him. There's many, many other events, and we can say in regards to King Jehoshaphat and Jonah that with these two men, and they were godly men, would they not have been better trusting in the Lord with all their hearts, obeying the Lord, seeking to obey his will, seeking to obey his word, rather than leaning to their own understanding? The seventh verse of that passage that we read, Proverbs 3, it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." We must take care that we are not looking at things through our own eyes. Because it might look okay to us, it might look like a good option, but yet, if it goes against what the Lord has said, it is the wrong option. Psalm 52, verse 7 says, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness." Then, Jeremiah 17, verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." The Lord has no time for those who trust in themselves or trust in man. Rather, we must trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Final reference on this section is Proverbs chapter 28 and the verse 26. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." It's the word of the Lord saying, if you trust in your own heart, you're a fool. But the second part of that verse, it says, "But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And those who walk wisely, they are those who are trusting in the Lord with all of their hearts. The commentator Charles Bridges said, "Man with all his pride feels that he wants something to lean to. As a fallen being, he naturally leans to himself, to his own foolish notions and false fancies. Human power is his idol. His understanding is his God." We must take care that that would never be said of us, that human power becomes our idol, that understanding becomes our God, and that we think we know better than God. Matthew Henry said, "That often proves best, which was least our own doing." How true it is that oftentimes the path which man thinks is the wrong path can be the path that God is using, the path that God wants us to go down. But secondly, this evening, let us consider the means that are highlighted. The passage tells us, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." But how do we acknowledge the Lord? How do we do this? And briefly, we'll point out two ways in which this can be done. The first way is by submitting ourselves to him. We must be submitted to the commands of the Lord. We cannot acknowledge the Lord by flaunting the commands that he has given us in Scripture, by ignoring and trying to ride roughshod over what Scripture commands us, what it tells us. Today, don't we see many who try to play the Christian? They try to go along with the little bits that they like, but yet when it comes to certain sins, they don't want to know. They try to ignore those scriptures that prick their conscience. A number of weeks ago, I came across a post on social media. It was a group in America. There's a few people in it who I know, and someone had put this post up. And somebody was trying to justify having a female minister. Of course, we know the scripture prohibits it. But this man's argument was that Christ never specifically forbade it. Christ hadn't forbidden it. And then he went on to say, it gets worse. He went on to say that the Bible's biggest mistake was including the, and I quote this, the ultra-conservative Apostle Paul's letters to the churches, and that it would be better off without them. He said that Scripture would be better off without the Apostle Paul's letters. It's absolute heresy. What happened to the inspiration of the Scriptures? What happened to taking and adding to Scripture? But rather than rebelling against what God has commanded in this book, we should submit ourselves to it. We should delight ourselves in obeying the Lord. Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. And the verses 1. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." We ought to take delight in the law of God. And it goes on further to say, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." But then notice verse 4. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Those who reject the authority of Scripture, those who refuse to submit to Scripture, they will be with those who are ungodly, for they are not willing to submit themselves to the Lord. But this evening, we've seen there that we must submit ourselves to Scripture. But there's another means whereby we can trust in the Lord and acknowledge him. And that is by spending time with his word and in prayer. When we trust the Lord, when we placed our faith in him, we've repented of our sin, and then we desire to trust him to guide us through our lives, we ought to spend time in prayer and also in the study of his word. Both are as essential as food and water. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, one day he was asked, "What is more important, praying or reading the Bible?" His response was, "What is more important, breathing in or breathing out?" The two go together. You can't neglect one or the other, but rather you must engage in both. And we ought to bring all matters before the Lord in prayer. Whether they're small matters or whether they're big matters, we should bring them to him. He's one person who will always be there to listen to what we have to say. And he will answer our prayers if we bring them to him. The means by which the Lord directs us is by his word, the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures, they are a reading book. They ought to be read and studied. And we ought to take the time to read and to pray over a passage and to ask the Lord to direct us. Will you not trust in his power? Will you not trust in the wisdom of God, his providence, his goodness, his righteousness, his mercy? He is a merciful God. Will you not depend upon him? Will you not lean upon him for guidance through these stormy paths of life? Will you not consult the Lord about all that you have to do in this life? Perhaps, maybe there's times when people will consider moving house, and oftentimes they will go, they'll look for houses, they'll search the market, but they never think to ask the Lord, should we move here? Perhaps it can be another matter, such as moving a job, moving jobs. They never think to ask the Lord for his direction. But rather, we should seek his face for all things that we do. We should trust in him and trust him to open the doors that he would have us to go down and to close the ones which are not the right doors for us. But we ought to consult him about everything. But then thirdly, this evening and finally, we have the blessings that are promised. And if we follow the instructions that the Lord has given us, he will direct our paths. We will be guided divinely, and there's many examples in Scripture that we can consider of people who put the Lord first, who acknowledged him, and even when it didn't appear to make sense to human logic at the time, they still trusted in God. They trusted in him, and they allowed him to direct their paths. A great example is Philip the evangelist. We can think in Acts chapter 12, whenever he went to the city of Samaria, a great revival took place. There was many souls being saved. But then the Lord told them to leave. Now we could say, why on earth would the Lord want the main man there, the evangelist, to leave the place where revival was taking place? But the Lord had a purpose. Yes, I'm sure Philip perhaps couldn't see the purpose. He didn't know why the Lord was taking him away. But yet, when the Lord took him away, he met the Ethiopian eunuch and he was able to point that man to the Savior. That man was saved. The Lord directed his path, and Philip was willing. He submitted himself to the Lord's direction for his life. And what a blessing it was, even having been taken away from the center of the revival, he still was able to point a man to Christ. The Lord brought him to a soul who was searching for the truth. But there's many spiritual blessings that if we allow the Lord to direct our paths, that we will receive. And if he's directing our path, we could say that it will be a happy path. And knowing that God is directing us, that ought to bring us happiness and great joy. Yes, there will be times of trouble and tribulation. There will be trials. We think of the current circumstances. Even for believers, it's difficult. There's times when we maybe feel like we'll never get out of this situation. But yet we have a great assurance that the Lord is in control. Even in the troublesome times, even when we do face those trials and tribulations, we have that great assurance of the Lord's help and his presence. Is that not a cause to be happy? Is it not a cause to rejoice? We think of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, when him and Silas had been beaten and they'd been cast into the prison. They were locked in chains. And what were they doing? They were praying and praising the Lord. In that dark prison cell, in the most terrible of conditions, they still were able to praise the Lord. They were trusting in him. And again, that's another example where we could say that they could have wondered. The Lord had told them to go to Philippi. They could have wondered, why would he have us, you know, here when we're locked here in a prison cell? How can we build the church? How can we preach the gospel? But yet, look what happened. There was that great earthquake. The jailer was saved and the church was established in that city. Proverbs chapter 16. And the verse number 20 tells us, Proverbs 16 verse 20 says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. If you trust in the Lord, there may be times whenever you will feel down and discouraged, but it will be a happy path, because you will have that great assurance that you are on the road to glory. The hymn writer said, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. This path, it's also, we could say it's a heavenly path. As if you're saved, you're walking with the Lord, it will bring you to glory. But friend, maybe this evening, you're outside of Christ. Maybe you haven't trusted in the Lord. But unless you trust in the Lord, you can't enter into glory. You can't enter into heaven. And this evening, I would implore you to turn to the Lord. Because if you turn to him and you trust in him, you repent of your sin, you will be on this heavenly path, this path which will lead you to glory, to a place where there will be no more sorrow, a place where there will be no more tears, there will be no more heartache, there will be no frustration or perhaps annoyance at restrictions to do with pandemics. It will be a place where everything is perfect. But this path, it is also a holden path. Another blessing of the Lord is that he upholds us. That even in the difficult times, He does not just let us wander along life's pathway. We do not just wander along like sheep without a shepherd, but rather he protects us. He helps us. He upholds us and guides us. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and the verse number 3. It says, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Saviour, thou savest me from violence." He was his shield. He was his refuge. He was his high tower. He was his Saviour. But friend, this morning or this evening, is he your Saviour? Have you trusted in him? Are you depending upon him to get you into heaven? Or are you trusting in something else? Also, the verse 31 of that chapter, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." But this path, it is also a hopeful path. Psalm 42 tells us, "Hope thou in God." And that is who we do hope in. That is who our trust is in. We trust in him and we have that great assurance that he will undertake for us no matter what comes, no matter what this world brings, even in the midst of the current circumstances. He will uphold us. He will strengthen us. He will guide us if we trust in him. As we come to a close this evening, I do ask, do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Maybe you're someone and you're saved, but yet you've wandered far from the Lord. You've begun to trust in your own ideas, your own devices. But you want to get back and you want to trust in the Lord again. Well, simply just call upon him and he will direct your paths. But maybe you've never trusted in him at all. Call upon the Lord for salvation. Trust in him. It is important that we trust in Christ alone for salvation. It's no laughing matter. We must not lean upon our own understanding. If we try to lean upon our own understanding when it comes to our soul, it will lead to destruction and hell. There are those who try to say there's no such place as hell, but yet the scripture is clear that that place exists. The scriptures tell us that salvation is of the Lord. There's no other way to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. If you trust in the Lord this evening, these couple of blessings that we have just highlighted, they will be yours. You will know that you're on a happy path. You will know that you're on that path to heaven. But if you don't trust in the Lord, these things will not be yours. There's no other way of salvation but to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. No other way to be ready for eternity. I do trust this evening that you will trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That you will have that knowledge that the Lord will direct your path. That he will guide you through these storms of life. Life is difficult. There's many storms that we will face. There's many storms that you have maybe faced already. But yet if you trust the Lord, he will bring you through them. So hymn writer penned, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Then the final verse of that hymn says, "Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey." This evening as we close, are you trusting in the Lord? Are you trusting in him alone? Are you seeking to obey him? Are you seeking to follow what he has taught us in his word? I trust this evening that you are, and that if you're not trusting in the Lord, but you want to trust in him, you want to trust in him for salvation, do speak to somebody. Don't put it off, for this is a most serious matter. It's imperative that we do trust in the Lord. And we do trust this evening that the Lord would bless the preaching of his word.